Moshe Rabbeinu asks in this week's Parsha, Harein Nas Kivodecha. Moshe Rabbeinu sees, at least according to the Farshim, that it's a unique time where he can make a request of the Ribono Sha'olam. And Moshe perceives it as a unique time to say, Harein Nas Kivodecha, can I have some exposure? Can you please show me your kavod, your full glory and honor? So it tells us that the Ribono Sha'olam responds that that's not going to be possible, but rather what's going to happen is, Vareisi es achorai ufanai lo yirau. The Ribono Sha'olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not going to show you the front of me, but I will show you the back. And many of the Mepharshim struggle trying to figure out what exactly this means, that God's going to show Moshe Rabbeinu his back, but not his front. The entire section here in Chumash is somewhat requires some understanding. We, generally speaking, assume, like the Rambam writes, in his Hagdamah Perek Chelek and other contexts, in Hilchos Teshuva, that God doesn't have a body. So the whole idea of seeing God's back, but not God's front, as he passes in front of you, is something which definitely requires a good deal of explanation. Rashi quotes a Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Zayin, which is, again, here in his Perish Al HaTorah, and it also requires some real understanding. Rashi says, what does it mean? That the Ribono Shel Olam didn't show Moshe Rabbeinu really the front, but rather, Achora is a reference to the Kesher Shel Tefillin. It's a knot on the back of the tefillin shel rosh that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see. That also requires a good deal of understanding. What exactly that means? That Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to see God's tefillin shel rosh that he wore, the kesher of the tefillin shel rosh that the Ribono Shel Olam was wearing. We should point out, just by as a bit of an introduction, that when the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Vav tells us that God wears tefillin, so the Rishonim there are very bothered by this. The Ritva writes there in Maseches Brachos that it must be a reference, and maybe it means that here on Daf Vav, he says maybe it's a reference, some say, to some other kind of being that was in front of the Ribono Shel Olam that was wearing tefillin, or the Sar HaPnim, but it wasn't God himself wearing tefillin. God doesn't have a body. The Tosfos Rosh and others think it's more of like a metaphor or a mashal. Tefillin represents something, and we're trying to convey a certain kind of an idea. Maybe it represents a connection that the Ribono Shel Olam has with Klal Yisrael. We wear tefillin to remind us of our connection with Hashem. Hashem wears tefillin to remind us of his connection, kivyachol, with us. And therefore, tefillin, God wearing tefillin on some level, is some sort of a metaphor. But none of that explains what's happening in this week's Parsha. Moshe can't see the front. Moshe can only see the back. And Rashi tells in the Gemara, he saw the back, the kesher shel tefillin, with the tefillin shel rosh. What exactly does that mean? What is the mashal that we're trying to convey? What is the message that Chazal were trying to give over in giving us that imagery of what Moshe Rabbeinu himself was actually able to witness? We'll share, hopefully, three ideas. The first is from the Maharal. Maharal and Gur Aryeh offers the following suggestion. The front versus back is a reference, this we know, to how much a person can really understand or can really appreciate in a clear way that which is in front of them. When you see the front, so Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, Harei Nas Kivodecha, I want to know, God, I want to know your essence. I want to know who you really are, not to just know it in some sort of a backhanded way, not to have to figure it out through Torah and mitzvot, but I want to know your real, God's real essence. The Ribono Shel Olam responds by saying, as Panai, you can't see my front. Man's not capable of understanding the real essence of the Ribono Shel Olam. All you can get is Me'achorai. All you can get is on some level, says the Maharal, not Amitas HaKavod, not the real honor of Hashem, but the back of it. You can get some remnant and some taste of it, and that's all Moshe was able to get. He couldn't fully fathom the Ribono Shel Olam. Ask the Maharal, but why the Kesher Shel Tefillin? The Maharal in general reads Agadata in a very precise way. What's the significance of the Kesher Shel Tefillin? So the Maharal offers the following suggestion. Real Kavod, real honor, is typically not found with the person who has the honor, but real honor spreads. Real kavod goes out and impacts other people. Melo kol ha'aretz kavodo, God's kavod is so great, it's not found by God, it rather extends to others. That's what really honorable people do. It's not about themselves and their honor, but the honor spreads to others. The kesher shel tefillin is trying to indicate the following, so argues the Maharal. The kesher shel tefillin, knot, that's a way of tying and limiting down where the tefillin are going to be. It's taking the tefillin and sticking it dafka to the head. What's going on, says the Maharal, is the following. The Ribono Shel Olam saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't really understand my real kavod. You really can't understand my real kavod. The only kavod you can really fathom is me'achorai, which is not a really an accurate representation. It's just a taste of it. And even the taste you're seeing is not the kavod when it's really expansive, when it's really impacting the whole world. You're going to see it in a limited way tied to the back of a head. It's going to look, again, it's somewhat limited, so suggests the Maharal, again, a bit of an idea, again, in the world of Machshava, but what's happening there for the Maharal, it's a way of Ribbono Shel Olam communicating to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's certain things you can't get, and one of the things you can't get is the way that God's, not just how great he is, but the manner in which it spreads. Rav Kook in Ein Hayah has an additional Mahalach, which is very, very similar, but I think a powerful idea. Rav Kook writes that there are two levels of intellect. There are two ways that a person can fathom the Ribbono Shel Olam. One is objectively the essence of God that man can't understand. Rather, alternatively, what do we have, says Rav Kook? What we have is the ability to understand Ribbono Shel Olam, to understand God, kifi havanas hamikabel, according to our level. I can't really understand God, but I can understand God on our level, on my own level. That, says Rav Kook, all of Torah is written on that level. All of Torah is trying to take the Ribbono Shel Olam and to translate it into terms, into concepts, into mitzvos that we can understand. And that's the way in which we are able to, says Rav Kook, be able to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. What Moshe was davening for, similar to the Maharal, says Rav Kook, was to be able to understand the real essence of God, not the watered-down version, kivyachal, of that we have in Torah, but take away all of that. I want to understand the highest, deepest understanding, the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's what I really want. That, says Rav Kook, is represented by Tefillin. Tefillin has within it parshios that describe the real essence, Yichud Hashem, the real essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Moshe was saying, I want to see the real deal. I want to understand, really, your essence, God. Not just as far as we learn Gideon to figure out what does God think about marriage. We learn Baba Kama to figure out what does God think about interpersonal relationships. I want real, pure, unadulterated essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The response was as follows. I will show you the Kesher Shel Tefillin. What is the Kesher Shel Tefillin? So if Tefillin represent pure essence of God, the Kesher is when we take Tefillin, what are we doing? We're trying to take Tefillin and tie it to our heads. We're trying to take Tefillin, these incredibly lofty ideas, and to try to make them relevant in a level in which we can really understand. That we're taking the Tefillin that are, again, represent these very deep ideas, and we're going to tie it to our heads. And what we're trying to do is to translate it in ways through Chumash and Torah and Mitzvot, Halacha, to be able to understand as well as possible. So essentially what's happening, says Rav Kook, is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, can I please understand your real essence? And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I can't. I can't explain that to you. What I can try to do is at least show you the connection and the relationship between my real essence and the world of Torah and Mitzvot that are going to be there. And there's a certain knot that's tying these things down, that in your head, and your seichel, connected to your head, is the capacity to understand a very good deal. Both Mahachim essentially understand as follows. What Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted was to understand God's essence, the highest level of knowledge of the divine. However, he's not able to do so. Rather, all he can get is Me'achorai, something back. He can see a little bit of what's there, but not really as clear. The Kesher Shel Tefillin, on some level, for Maharal, represents the fact that it's more tied to Hashem. It's not spreading out as much as we would think. According to Rav Kook, it represents the taking Torah and making it relevant, attaching it to our head, attaching it to our bodies, to be able to understand in a way which is actually very relevant. The Pei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, had a very interesting Torah. We'll share it very, very briefly. The Gemara tells that in Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael got two crowns. The Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Beches, they got two crowns at Matan Torah. When they sinned in the Chet HaEgel, they lost those crowns. Says the Pei Menachem the following insight. Pei Menachem says that according to the Zohar, the two crowns that we were given that represent a certain connection with Ribbono Shel Olam, a certain kind of lofty sense of living, those two crowns, says the Zohar, correspond to, are referenced in Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. That the Tefillin that we wear are remnants, are references to those two Ksarim that we got at Maimon Har Sinai. What's happening right here, says the Pnei Menachem, Klal Yisrael messed up at Chet HaEgel. And the Gemara tells that when Klal Yisrael messed up at Chet HaEgel, they lost their two crowns. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam showing Moshe Rabbeinu? It's true you lost them, but you still have Shaychus. The world of the Kesher Shel Tefillin, you can still, through Tefillin, you can still, as represented by these Tefillin, be able to have a certain kind of relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't think it's all lost after Chet HaEgel. This is all happening again in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel. Don't think you've lost everything. It's not true at all. There's still a whole lot that's there. represented by the keshel tefillin, you can still see the parts of the tefillin, you still have a shayichus to it. Very lofty psukim here. Moshe Rabbeinu wants harei nas kivodecha. Chazal, the mefarshim, are forced to often get into Kabbalistic ideas, even those that don't as often or as frequently. It describes in ways that are anthropomorphic. You're talking about God having a body, trying to figure out what's going on here. But what it does is it represents certain ideas. For if Kukim the Maharal represents a desire to understand as well as possible the essence of God and our inability to do so, for the Maharal, very powerfully, Kavod always spreads. Here than not, it's not spreading the same way. It's limited. I can only think the limited impact of the bonus olam. That's for the Maharal. For if Kuk, it's about taking the lofty ideas and tying them to my head. I can understand Torah. I can understand God, but only according to my level and how it translates. And the third, the Pnei Menachem, the fact that even after Cheder Egel, even after we messed up, we lost our crowns, we still have shaychus to what we got. We still have a certain kind of connection to what we got in Maimon Har Sinai, represented by the tefillin, which means on some level, when we put on tefillin, one of the things that we're doing is tapping into that high madrega we got in Matan Torah. Tapping into that high level that we had of a certain kind of kedusha, a certain kind of crowns. Have a wonderful day.
The 2 crowns, Torah, Malchus, and Torah.